You will have sons who will represent a partial manifestation of our potency. And because we desire all good fortune for you, those sons will glorify your reputation throughout the world. Translation, text 32. Thus, while the couple looked on, the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, disappeared from that place after bestowing upon Atrimuni the benediction. Translation 33. Thereafter, from the partial representation of Brahma, the moon god was born of them. From the partial representation of Vishnu, the great mystic Dattatreya was born. And from the partial representation of Shankara, Lord Shiva, Duvasa was born. Now you may hear from me of the many sons of Angira. Translation 34. Angira's wife, Shodha, gave birth to four daughters named Sinivali, Kuhu, Raka, and Amuti. 35. Besides these four daughters, she also had another two sons. One of them was known as Bhutatya, and the other was the learned scholar Brihaspati. Text 36. Kulatsya begot in his wife Havirbhu, one son of the name Agatsya, who in his next birth became Dagadagni. Besides him, Pulatsya begot another very great and saintly son, whose name was Vishrava. 37. Vishrava had two wives. The first wife was Idardida, from whom Kuvera, the master of all yakshas, was born. And the next wife was named Keshini, from whom three sons were born, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishana. 38. Gati, the wife of the sage Pulaha, gave birth to three sons named Kamashrestha, Bariyan, and Sahishni, and all of them were great sages. Purport. Gati, the wife of Pulaha, was the fifth daughter of Kardama Muni. She was very faithful to her husband, and all her sons were as good as he.
Keep going.
Text 39. Kratu's wife, Kriya, gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Valakilians. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Kriya was the sixth daughter of Kardama Muni, and she produced 60,000 sages who were known as the Valakiyas, because they all retired from family life as vanaprasthas. Text 40. Ujjayan. Oops, sorry. Translation. The great sage Vasishtha begot his wife Ujja, sometimes called the Arundhati, seven spotless great sages headed by the sage named Chitraketu. Translation. The names of these sages are as follows: Chitraketu, Surochi, Viraja, Mitra, Ubana, Vasupridhanya, and Dhyuman. Some others were very competent sons that were born from Vasishtha's other wife. Purport. Ujja, who is sometimes known as Arundhati and was the wife of Vasishtha, was the ninth daughter of Kardama Muni. Text 42. Chiti, wife of the sage Atava, gave birth to a son named Ashvabhishira by accepting a great vow called Dadyancha. Now you may hear from me about the descendants of the sage Bhrigu. Purport. The wife of Atava, known as Chiti, is also known as Shanti. She was the eighth daughter of Kardama Muni. Text 43. The sage Bhrigu was highly fortunate. In his wife, known as Kyati, he begot two sons named Data and Vidata, and one daughter named Sri, who was very much devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 44. The sage Meru had two daughters named Ayati and Niyati, whom he gave in charity to Datha and Vidata. Ayati and Yati gave birth to two sons, Rikanda and Prada. 45. From Rikanda, Markandeya Rishi, Markandeya Muni was born, and from Prana, the sage Vedashira, whose son was Bhushana, Shukracharya, also known as Kavi. Thus, Kavi also belonged to the descendants of the Bhrigu dynasty. Text 47. My dear Guru Vidura, the population of the universe was thus increased by the descendants of these sages and the daughters of Pardhana. Anyone who hears descriptions of this dynasty with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. Another of Manu's daughters known as Prashuddhi, married the son of Brahma named Daksha. Text 48. Daksha begot 16 very beautiful daughters with lotus-like eyes in his wife Prashuddhi. Of these 16 daughters, 13 were given in marriage to Dharma, and one daughter was given to Agni. Text 52. One of the remaining two daughters was given in charity to the Prithiloka, where she resides very amicably, and the other was given to Lord Shiva, who is a deliverer of sinful persons from material entanglement. The names of the 13 daughters of Daksha who were given to Dharma are Shraddha, Maitri, Daya, Shanti, Tushti, Pushti, Kriya, Unnati, Buddhi, Medha, Tidiksha, Kri, and Murti. These 13 daughters produced the following sons. Shraddha gave birth to Shubha, Maitri produced Prasada, Daya gave birth to Abhya, Shanti gave birth to Shukha, Tushti gave birth to Munda, Pushti gave birth to Smaya, Kriya gave birth to Yoga, Anumati gave birth to Dharpa, Buddhi gave birth to Artha, Medha gave birth to Smriti, Titiksha gave birth to Kshema, and Sri gave birth to Prashraya. Murti, a reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Naranarayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 53. On the occasion of the appearance of Naranarayan, the entire world was full of joy. Everyone's mind became tranquil, and thus, in all directions, the air, the rivers, and the mountains became pleasant. Text 44-45. In the heavenly planets, bands began to play, and they showered flowers from the sky. Pacified sages chanted Vedic prayers. The denizens of heaven, known as the Gandharvas and the Kinnaras, sang beautiful damsels of the heavenly planet. Sang. The beautiful damsels of the heavenly planets danced, and in this way, at the time of the appearance of Naranarayan, all signs of good fortune were visible. Just at that time, great demigods like Lord Brahma also offered their respectful prayers.
That was pretty long, but there was no purport, so Prabhupada didn't write any purport if the acharyas didn't give any purports. There was sometimes acharyas gave short purports, but Prabhupada gave long purport. So in this case, there was no purport, so if there's no purport, we then don't speak on the next. Text number 56 has the purport. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Deva ucha yamaya ya ichitam niya atmana amanidam ke rupa vedam iva tad arti chaks sanaya. Etena dharma sadhane rishi marti nad daya pradish Shacha Kara Purushaya Namaha Parasami. Translation. The demigods said, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the transcendental personal Godhead, who created as his external energy this cosmic manifestation, which is situated in him as the air and clouds are situated in space, and who has now appeared in the form of Narayan Rishi in the house of Dharma." Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The universal form of the Lord is the cosmic manifestation, which an exhibition of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In space there are innumerable varieties of planets, and also the air. In the air are also various colored clouds. Sometimes we see airplanes running from one place to another. So that's interesting. How many knew that? The various colors of clouds. How many knew that? I didn't know that either. So I read this purport. The airplanes running from one place to another means, you know, we have so many different airlines and different colored airplanes. Thus the entire cosmic manifestation is full of variety. But actually that variety is a manifestation of the external energy of the Supreme Lord. The energy is situated in Him. That Lord Himself, after manifesting His energy, appeared within the creation of His energy, which is simultaneously one with and different from Him. Therefore, the demigods offer their respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifests Himself in such varieties. There are some philosophers called non-dualists, who, because of their impersonal conception, think that varieties are false. In this verse, it is specifically stated, "Yo Mayaya Virachitam." This indicates that the varieties are the manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, because the energy is not different from the Godhead, the varieties are also factual. Material varieties may be temporary, but they are not false. They are a reflection of the spiritual varieties. Here the word Rati Cha Sanayaya. There are varieties. Announces the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as Narayan Rishi and is the origin of all varieties of material nature. Om Antarandasya Nanjana Sankaya Saksha Vimitamjena Tasme Shimarvena Sri Chaitanya Manomistam Stampitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Vandana Nanta Sapa Nantinka Nanchako Pujimisha Ibishin Vimcha Vandam Bhagma Yo Paisha Yom Namonaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitsnanda Shri Adrita Gadhar Srinivasa Mohabhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Hare. If you put your hands up when you chant the Maha Mantra, then the demigods also get the benefit. So I reside in Vrindavan, which is in UP, India, where Krishna was born and had his apricot lila, or his manifest lila in this material world. So mostly visit that place one time or another. And Prabhupada said, told the devotees that every year we should have Mayapur Vrindavan Festival so devotees can go to these places, and because they're spiritually surcharged, they can recharge their batteries so they can come back to the West and preach Krishna consciousness. So I came to Nagpur to recharge my battery so I can go back to Vrindavan. So the main points here is that if Narayan Rishi was born from Dharma, and that there's variety in all the interior world, and the many incarnations of the Lord are there, so like the waves in the ocean or the waves in a lake, innumerable incarnations are coming and going. But the major incarnations are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and describe an incarnation. It's a Sahaja name, where he was born, his village, and what his activities will be. So there are many many gods nowadays. Many false incarnations claiming to be God. There was one king named Pundraka, and he sent a messenger to Dwarka, to Lord Krishna, in the assembly house, and said that I'm the Supreme Personality Godhead, and yet you have assumed the symbols, the disc, the plug, the lotus flower, the gong shell, but those symbols belong to me, so therefore you should surrender to me. And when Krishna and all the assembled people there heard this, they laughed for a very long time. Then Krishna replied to the messenger, "You tell your Pundraka that I will surrender my disc to his head." So then Krishna went there. The Kashi, King Kashi, was a faithful servant of Pundraka, and many others were cheated. It's called cheating, Kaitava Dharma, or made them believe that this Pundraka was the Supreme Personality Godhead. When Krishna saw him on the battlefield, he had four arms, he had this Gustava jewel, he had the mark of Shivas, he had the yellow silk dhoti, he had four arms, he had all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality Godhead. But Krishna looked at him and clearly tell that it was simply an imitation. So Krishna met him on the battlefield and he said that I have come to surrender to you, and I surrender my disc to your head. And he cut off his head. And that was the end of the personality of Godhead, Pundraka. So there's many people like that who try to imitate and try to cheat people by claiming to be the personality of Godhead, or claiming to be God. The Prabhupada said, we're the kicker God. Kicking God, we kick him in the head with a boot. They voted that Ramakrishna was an incarnation of God, but he got cancer and died of cancer. So we're not the people. Prabhupada showed us what is what and who is who. So we're not fooled by this. These people claim to be God, give themselves the name Bhagavan. So here, Narayan Rishi was born in the house of Dharma. Now, Narayan means, Narayan means pure goodness, or the original origin of all varieties, and Nara means Narayan devotee. So here, and a few verses later, it says Narayan Rishi is the partial expansion of Krishna, has now appeared in the dynasty of Yadu and Kuru, in the form of Krishna and Arjuna, respectively, to mitigate the burden of the world. So how many people knew that Krishna and Arjuna were Narayan Rishi? You knew that? Because it's also stated at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the last purports. So Narayan is the personality of Godhead, and Nara is the unalloyed devotee. Once there was a Brahmin in Dwarka, had a child, and that child was born dead, or died as soon as it was born. And at that time, 5,000 years ago, the kings were responsible for untimely death. So when the child died, the Brahmin brought the child to the palace of the King Urusena and made so many accusations against him, claiming that he wasn't the proper king. And so, kept happening, 9 times he had a child, as soon as it was born, would die. So the 10th time, Arjuna said, this time, I will save your child. If I don't save your child, I'll enter the fire. So then, the child was born, and as soon as it came out, and touched the ground, it also disappeared. So Arjuna went all over the universe looking for the child, but he couldn't find it. So he was ready to enter the fire. But Krishna is not partial, but Arjuna was his friend. So to save Arjuna, entering the fire, Krishna took Arjuna to see Mahavishnu. Krishna called for his transcendental chariot and his transcendental horses, and they went to the coverings of the universe, to the Brahmayoti, and to the abode of Lord Vishnu. And there, Krishna Arjuna paid obeisances to Lord Vishnu and asked him why they had come, or why he had taken, the reason he had taken all the children. And the reason was that he wanted to get the darshan of Lord Krishna. So it says there that Krishna and Arjuna went there in the form of Narayan. Krishna is Narayan and Arjuna is Nara. So Krishna could have brought back the first son, but he didn't, the first child, or his first, he didn't do that. He waited till the 10th child so he could save his devotee. Vasalam Apsakuntaya. Krishna is not partial because he's spiritual and he doesn't have anything to do with the three modes and the material nature. But for the sake of his devotee, he can do anything. And Lord Chaitanya also declared in Chaitanya Bhagavat that I will kill even my own family member to protect my devotees. And there was one demon who was named Narakasura. He was the god of Bhomasura in the Krishna book. And Krishna went to his palace and killed him because he was a demon. But he was actually Krishna's son because his mother was the earth and his father was Lord Raha. So this is the couple examples of the how the Lord deals with his devotees. So here, Atri Muni was standing on one leg for a very long time, performing great austerities. He didn't eat anything. And he wanted his son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he didn't know who the Supreme Personality of Godhead was. And he wanted his son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't want the Personality of Godhead as his son. So this was a material desire. By the way, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu appeared before him and they gave him a son named Daitreya. So it filled his desire, even though he wasn't pure. Anyabhiga sita sunyam jnana kamanabhitam anukalena krishna no bhakti uttamam. Pure devotional service means free from jnana, free from karma. Only bhakti, pure bhakti. So then these other incarnations, other descendants, Jivas, Dhamma, Amanu were described. And here the son of Dharma became Naranarayan Rishi. Now there's an 11th canto is also described Naranarayan Rishi. And Indra, king of heaven, became afraid of Naranarayan Rishi becoming too powerful. So he sent many apsaras, beautiful heavenly damsels, to distract him and make him fall down. But this is not possible because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when the apsaras came there with Cupid, Naranarayan Rishi, he produced many more women, beautiful women who were much more beautiful than the ones sent by Indra, to prove that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that Vishwamitra Muni was meditating for 60,000 years to try to become perfect in the yogic process. But just by the Indra's, Indra also, he always causes trouble. Indra's a troublemaker. And so he sent the heavenly damsel and to bewilder Vishwamitra Muni to break his meditation. And that's what happened. The apsara, just by hearing her ankle bells, not even seeing her, he opened his eyes, he was attracted to her, and as a result he had a child, a daughter named Sukandala. So, of course, that kind of practice was done in the Satya Yuga, when people lived for 100,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, people lived for 10,000 years. In Dwapara Yuga, people lived for 1,000 years. In Kali Yuga, people lived up to 100 years, but not even that anymore. Very few people live to be 100 years old. So this is the examples of Naranarayan Rishi. Here it says that he's the one that manifests the varieties in the material world. Because He enters the world and doesn't enter the world. When Krishna came 5,000 years ago, Bhagavad Gita says that although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I'm the Lord of all living entities, I appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Yada yada yi dharmasya yani bhavata bhavata abhita nama dharmasya tadatmana shijami aham. Whenever and wherever there is divine and vicious practice of Sanabharata, if Brahmanas and irreligion, at that time I descend. Pravicharana sadhanam vinishyata duskritam dharmasan stapanana nartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish principle religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So when Krishna comes to material world, he comes by his yoga maya potency, amamaya. And he may or may not be recognized by everyone. When Krishna went to Mathura, he met one washerman, and he said to the washerman, Krishna was Balaram and the cowboys, that you give us some cloth to wear. And the washerman said, you boys, cowboys, you shouldn't be so impudent or so rascal. You shouldn't be rascals. Because this cloth is meant for the king. If the king hears about this, he will certainly punish you. So Krishna, very simply, with his hand, he cut off the washerman's head. And then they collected all the clothes they wanted and went away. So this example, the washerman couldn't understand who Krishna was, because he wasn't a devotee. But Krishna says, Bhakti Amama Vijayanti, that I can only be known by devotional service. So non-devotees cannot recognize, the devotees cannot recognize Krishna. But when Krishna met Kunja, she was a hunchback lady, and she, her service was to make sandalwood for the king, King Kamsa. And when she saw Krishna and Balaram, she gave him all the sandalwood. And because she did that, Krishna was pleased with her. He put his feet on her feet, and he put his finger under her chin and straightened her out and made her into a beautiful lady. Because she was a hunchback lady, she wasn't very attractive, even though she had a beautiful face. So Krishna made her whole body beautiful. And then, so this is the difference. She was a devotee and she could recognize who Krishna was, and she was willing to give everything to Krishna. And non-devotees don't know who Krishna is and don't want to give anything to Krishna. They think Krishna is a great personality, but they don't know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even on the Battle of Kurukshetra, not everybody recognized Krishna. Those who knew who Krishna was attained Vaikuntha. Those who were killed on the battlefield, and those who didn't know who Krishna was went to the Brahmayoti. So Krishna has the power to give liberation to the demons he kills. Other incarnations can do that, but they don't always do that. But Krishna always does that. He gives liberation to the demons he kills. Of course, we don't want to be a demon. Demons are killed by Krishna, like Kamsa and Shishupal and many others, who are always thinking of Krishna, but not in a favorable way, inimical way. So they can't be counted as devotees. But still, Krishna still liberated them. So it is the difference. So this is why Supreme Personality of Godhead comes in this material world, but He's not recognized. Here it says he comes in the world, but he's not in the world. So he appears to be in the world by his Yogamaya potency. It's like Vrindavan Dham is the abode of the Lord. He has pastimes there. But if you go to Vrindavan, with material desires, with material eyes, you can't see Vrindavan. Brahman Yunatri Bhakti Devotionena. You have to have spiritual eyes. You go to Vrindavan and you see hogs and dogs and garbage everywhere. And you think it's just a filthy place. Although the devotees go there, there's Krishna Bala Mandir, and you can feel the spiritual potency of Vrindavan and get purified. But not everybody can do that. But still, you get benefit. But you're not actually seeing Vrindavan. Jintamani Prakamashu Kapa Viksha. There's a curtain called Podamaya, which covers our eyes. Unless you're in pure goodness, and you can't see Vrindavan. If you're still materially contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance, goodness, passion, ignorance, you have to be in pure goodness. Then you can see Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, every step is a dance, every word is a song. There's many lotus flowers, the birds are chirping, and there's no Maya there. Everything's spiritual. All the living entities there have satchit around their bodies and are engaged in loving service to Krishna. It's not the Vrindavan we see, where it now it's become so commercial. High-rise buildings, high-rise apartments, advertising to come to Vrindavan, live a modern spiritual life. And they have swimming pool, weight room, and all the nonsense things, even a golf course, things that are not meant for spiritual life. And Vrindavan is meant for bhajan, for those who want to retire from material life, and chant Hare Krishna and do bhajan. It means to follow the nine processes of devotional service. Sarva Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarana. In the Brahma Samhita it says, Ramadi Rateshu Kala Niyamena Tati Stam Nana Vantaram Akaro Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Sayam Samadha Paramam Pamanyo Govinda Maripusha Tamaha Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primal Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Nisringa, Vamana, etc. as a subjected portion. So, the first canto of Bhagavatam says this is Kaitava Dhamma. First chapter, text number 2, that there are many cheating religions and they give lip service to God, but they don't know who God is or how to obtain love for God. They just perform rituals. And when Prabhupada went to America, he had one interview and they asked him, do you think that Christianity failed the people? And Prabhupada said, yes. And so, because people were not interested in the Kaitava Dharma, all the churches became empty. And so the Hare Krishnas came there by hook or crook. Sometimes people didn't want to sell their buildings to the Hare Krishnas because they didn't understand we were a bona fide religion. If that were some cult, some sect or some crazy lazy fellows. So somehow we managed to buy so many buildings to make into temples. There were churches, but people weren't going to the churches, so they were closed. So this is Sanatana Dharma, who's practicing Sanatana Dharma, which is the eternal religion of the living entity. The Supreme Personality and Godhead is like the sun. Krishna needs all attractive. And Lord Chaitanya prayed that we have hundreds of millions of names. So the sun is, there's a sun in Australia, there's a sun in China, there's a sun in India, there's a sun in America. But the sun is not any of those, doesn't belong to any of those countries. The sun is the sun everywhere, it's the same sun. But in this age, people are working under the misunderstanding of false names and false forms, and engage in all kinds of sinful activities, not knowing what they should do or what they shouldn't do. So it says here that by the external energy, there's variety. Most people think that spiritual life means that there's no variety. Material life means variety, and spiritual life means that there's no variety. Everything is void and null, and just want to merge into the Brahman fullness. So in the Sesha Sunyavani Paskachan Vesadharani, Srila Prabhupada came to defeat this misconception that most people have. Two gentlemen came to the Krishna Bala Mandir, and they were looking at a sign that said, if you worship Tulsi, if you worship the demigod in Tulsi, that you go to hell. It was a sinful activity. You shouldn't worship Tulsi. But to worship the demigod in Tulsi. So they said to me, which is a mistake. I said, why is it a mistake? It's not a mistake. They said, well, because the demigods, the Krishna, and everyone's the same. They said, we're Krishna, we're the demigods, everything's one. So they couldn't understand that there was a difference between the demigods and Krishna. Krishna is Vishnu-tapa. The demigods are not Vishnu-tapa. And Tulsi is only offered to Vishnu-tapa. Even Radharani, we don't offer Tulsi to Radharani. But she's not Vishnu-tapa. So there are different truths to understand. So we understand that. The demigods are semi-gods in charge of the various affairs, universal management. But they're not God. And Krishna says that those people who are less intelligent than people worship the demigod. The fruits are temporary and limited. So even in Vrindavan, most of the people don't understand this. I went to one shop across the street from the temple, and the man had an altar. And on his altar he had Jagannath Subhadra Bhagadev, he had Lord Ganesh, Lord Shiva. They had the whole hodgepodge. And most people have a hodgepodge. They don't understand the difference between the demigods and this Krishna and his different forms. And as soon as you enter the road to go to Vrindavan, there's a 40-foot murti of Durga. And Prabhupada said, who's this rascal that's in him that has a introduces demigod worship in Vrindavan. He said, Vrindavan is meant for worshiping Radha Krishna and nobody else. So people are fooled in this way. And so if they read the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna has spoken, which is Krishna Gita, and read Srimad Bhagavatam, which is spoken about Krishna, which is also Krishna Gita, then they'll not be confused. And Srila Prabhupada went to the West. He had so many interviews with different people, professors and scholars and politicians, but he was never defeated in an argument because he was fixed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922. He ordered him to preach Krishna consciousness The message of the Lord Chaitanya in the English-speaking world. A young man at that time, he was married, a householder, and it was the first meeting of Bhaktisiddhanta. And he didn't even want to go to that meeting because his father had the policy of inviting five sadhus for lunch every day. So he had met so many sadhus who weren't really sadhus, were bogus sadhus. So he thought that this was another one of those bogus sadhus. But his friend told him that, convinced him to go and see Bhaktisiddhanta. So when he met Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktisiddhanta told him he's preaching in the English-speaking world. Prabhupada said that India was a dependent country at that time, and who will listen to us if we're dependent, if we don't have independence? Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, Lord Chaitanya's movement cannot wait for any material political situation. It must be spread all over the world. So after that, from 1922 to 1933, Prabhupada started to prepare himself to fulfill that order. Then he took initiation. And in 1933, before the spiritual master left the world, he ordered Prabhupada, if you get money, to print books. So Srila Prabhupada took that order to heart. Eke Guru Nandanam, the verse in the Bhagavad Gita 2:42, with one point of attention, he went to America. But how could he print books? What books was he going to print? One lady came to Prabhupada when they had the storefront on 2nd Avenue that said that, can you recommend a copy of Bhagavad Gita that I can read? If you go into any bookstore in America or all over the world, there's many, many copies of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada said, no, I can't recommend anyone, because all the other copies of Bhagavad Gita were written by people who were self-motivated and not pure devotees and didn't understand the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So when you read those other commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, you don't get the proper understanding. And even when Brahmananda, one of Prabhupada's first disciples, was reading a Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada called Brahmananda and said, read a few pages of your Bhagavad Gita. So he read a few pages, then he said to Brahmananda, now close the book and tell me what you read. But Brahmananda couldn't say anything. He didn't understand anything he read. But if you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, then you understand so many things. So the Bhagavad Gita deals with five subject matters: time, karma, living entity, material world, Supreme Personality, Godhead. So these it's clear. So here it says that there's variety. Material world is variety, and the spiritual world is variety. Like he was talking about yesterday's class, that sex life is the most pronounced, most thing that interests people the most in the material world. Everywhere, even in India now, they have to put a picture of a woman on all the products, they even put it on cement bags. In the newspaper, the Times of India used to be a simple newspaper, but now you can't read it anymore because they have colored pictures of beautiful women all over the newspaper. It used to be just a simple thing. So this is entice people to have agitate the minds of men for sex life. So sex life is here in the material world. But in the material world, sex life is abominable. And that's why we promise at time initiation no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. Illicit sex means no sex outside of marriage, and even that means only for begetting Krishna conscious children, not otherwise. So, the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So everything that goes on here is going on in Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, and there it's the highest rasa, Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy. He asked him what was the ultimate, highest form of rasa, the ultimate goal of life. And Ramananda gave so many answers, but finally said, the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. So the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is the topmost form of devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Aya. He's the combination form of Radha and Krishna. He came in a golden complexion, but he's golden on the outside and blackish on the inside. So he's Krishna, he came himself to spread the Sankirtan movement and also to taste the mellows of the loving Radharani's loving service to him. So in this way, there are two reasons. So in this age of Kali Yuga, Harinama, 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 Yagyo, Kaluna Stevana, 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 Gatchira, Nita. So in a few days we're going to celebrate the Holy Name Week all over the world. But in Vrindavan, we celebrate the Holy Name Year. Because we have kirtan going on 24 hours a day. There's one department is the kirtan department. And devotees do 6 hours of kirtan. And there's a 3-hour shifts, which cover all 24 hours a day. This is Prabhupada wanted this, that 24-hour kirtan go on in Krishna Bhava Mandir. So it's going on a daily basis. So this is the thing we should understand, that there's variety in the spiritual world. Brahma, Satya, Jagat, Mitya. The Mayavadis say that this material world is false and the Brahman is reality. But it's not that this material world is not false. It's not that I'm not sitting here talking to you. I'm real and you're real. But the thing is, it's temporary. Everything in the material world is temporary. Time and tide waits for no man. So everyone has to take birth. Everyone has to grow. Everyone has to stay for some time. Everyone has to produce offspring. Everyone has to dwindle. And everyone has to die. In Bhagavad Gita, it says in the 15th chapter that there are two kinds of living entities. Those that are fallible, and those infallible. In the material world, everyone is fallible. In the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. The difference is, in the material world, everybody has to change their body. They know Smin-yata-de-he-omaram-yubanam-jara-tad-de-ham-prapta-chir-jira-satra-namuite. If you will boil it to youth old age, and then you change your body. It says that the living entity, conditioned life, goes from one body to another as the air carries the aroma. So it's subtle. When someone leaves his body, the chemicals are there. The scientists say life is just a combination of chemicals. But we could say, we'll give you all the chemicals, you make life. And they say, well, we will do it in the future. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says that life does not come from chemicals. Life comes from life. You can't take two cars of the same make, same company, and produce a baby child. And chemicals can't take chemicals cannot make another living chemical. A living being cannot be produced from chemicals. It takes a man and a woman who are living to produce a child. So this is the difference. This is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that there's life on every single planet. They say there's no life. They say they went to the moon and brought back a few rocks. It said the moon's a barren desert. The Bhagavad Gita said, Krishna says, I enter the moon and I become the juice of life. So if the moon is a barren desert, then how many vegetables can you get to produce, to nourish the vegetables on this planet? You can't get very many vegetables from the desert. So this is a misconception. And because the scientists are limited and have imperfect senses, whatever they do to try to understand what's going on the other planets, they can't come to any conclusion. The Prabhupada wrote this book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. He said that they never went to the moon. Prabhupada was in England, and when they showed the moon landing on television, he watched it with his servant. And then after it was finished, they turned off the television, and Prabhupada said they never went to the moon. And he wrote that in his book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, and with this body, you can't go to the moon. And just like if you go to India, it's very hot. But if you go to New York in the winter time and you just wear half pants and t-shirt, you won't be comfortable. You can't survive there. So in the same way, with a material body, you can't go to other planets by any mechanical means. And they say they went to the moon, which is 95 million miles away. The sun is 93 million miles away. They say they went there in 3 days and came back with a few rocks and said there's nothing there, it's only a desert, and they never went again. So it was all a bluff. A nice production someplace in the Arizona desert. They made a drama that they went to the moon. But even the materialists agree. I mean, many people have researched and found all the flaws in their claiming to go to the moon. So here it says that the demigods like Rama and Narada and Vishnu appeared. The demigods offer prayers. The demigods are speaking here. Let us offer our respectful obeisances of the transcendental personality Godhead, who created as his external energy his cosmic manifestation, which is situated in him as the air and clouds are situated in space, and who has now appeared in the form of Narayan Rishi in the house of Dharma. There's the external energy, there's the internal energy, and the marginal energy. The external energy is the material world, internal energy is the spiritual world, and the marginal energy, the tattva, is the living entity. Because the living entity, the jiva, can be either in the material world or in the spiritual world. But we come in the material world because we have free will. When we misuse our free will, we have a choice to serve Krishna or to be Krishna, try to be Krishna. When we want to serve Krishna, we go to Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha and serve in a loving mood. But when we want to be Krishna, we come in the material world by the arrangement of the Mahamaya. In the spiritual world, it's Yoga Maya. There's no Mahamaya, there's no modes there, and no one is everyone has Sakshinanda bodies. But in the material world, when the modes of nature are there, and everyone has a material body, which will eventually grow over time. But this is the difference between the material and spiritual world. But we shouldn't think that because the variety on this planet, material world, there's no variety in the spiritual world. Chinta Veda Veda Tapa. Lord Chaitanya came to teach this philosophy. Chinta Veda Veda Tapa, simultaneously one and different. So, the goal of our life is to become Krishna conscious and develop our love for Krishna and go back to Godhead and not have to take birth again in this material world. So our time is up and we'll stop there. Many more things can be said about this purport. Prabhupada traveled around the world 14 times in 12 years. And at the same time, he would translate and purport the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he translated up to the 10th canto. So he took the commentaries from Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, and wrote his translation purports for his spiritual ecstasy. He said he took dictation from Super Soul and wrote these purports. So if anybody even touches a book, Prabhupada said that if they just read one word or one page or one sentence, their life can change. And even if they touch the book, they can get benefit. So one day he was distributing books, and a man came by and he said, "Take this book." He said, "No, I don't want that book." He said, "Well, just touch it." So the man touched it and went away. And then 10 minutes later, he came back and bought the book. So the spiritual energy is there. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be contaminated by mundane things. We should only be trying to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Like Vaishya Sikha, he is one of our leading devotees. He's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He's always hearing and chanting, quoting so many verses. It's difficult to keep up with him, but he's so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So we should stay away from the internet, from television, Google, all these things that distract us from becoming Krishna conscious. And the nectar of instruction, these six things that we should avoid, and six things that are favorable. So we should read all of Prabhupada's books and make it a point to understand, try to understand these Prabhupada's books and stay in Krishna consciousness, not let Maya come in and take us away from Krishna. So how many people in this room have read all of Srila Prabhupada's books? Has anybody read all of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar? How many have read all of Srila Prabhupada's books? So, anyone? So we should, if you have free time, you should spend your time study Prabhupada's books systematically. Srimad Bhagavatam, you start from the first canto and systematically read daily certain amounts till you read all Srimad Bhagavatam, all Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Bhaktisiddhanta word is disciples to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavatam 108 times. And Mahaprabhu himself heard the story of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and Radha Pandi hundreds of times. So, if you have free time, then you should utilize it properly. If you can't, usually when we sit down to read, we fall asleep. So if you find someone who can read with you, you can read together, take turns reading so you don't fall asleep. Or you can read for a certain amount of time and stop, and then when you don't feel as tired anymore, you can read again. You can read 10, 15 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day. But just try to read all of Srila Prabhupada's books. As Prabhupada said, if you don't read my books, then you'll become lazy. And he said, in the temple, ashrams, not meant for lazy, crazy fellows. So we shouldn't become lazy. We should read all the Prabhupada books, every word the Prabhupada wrote, because he's the pure devotee, and this movement is supposed to go on for the next 10,000 years, and Prabhupada books are the law books for men for the next 10,000 years, and eternally. Does anybody have any comments or questions? No comments, no questions. Then we can stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. 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 Jai.